So it's great having all my family here with us, except for when they point out mistakes and stuff that you've done wrong. Because how many know that your kids like to do that sometimes, right? So it, yeah, they told me because they love me. So on the last slide, on the Merry and Bright slide, so they said, "Dad, it's 2018," and I said, "Yeah, I know." And it says Christmas 2019 on it, and so I'm just being prophetic for next year. So yeah, I'll fix that this week.
You wrote a check in June to somebody and dated it.
JJ just reminded me. I wrote a check to somebody in June and I dated it
in
2019.
We just had to fix it for him.
That was a major post-date. What's that?
It's going to be a great year.
It's going to be a great year. Can't wait to 2019, I guess. Oh, my goodness. Well, welcome, everybody. It's great to see you here today. Who's ready to get in the Word? All right. 17 of us are. Praise the Lord. Hey, turn with me to the book of Colossians chapter 3. The book of Colossians chapter 3. And keep your finger there. We just celebrated Thanksgiving the other day, along with everybody else. I was talking to Tim. The reason I say that is I was talking to Tim Valentine the other day. And I said, "You guys celebrate Thanksgiving a different day in Canada, eh?" And he goes, "Yeah, we do, eh?" And so it's kind of fun. So it was great talking to them on the phone the other day. They celebrated it last month. And so, but we just celebrated the other day. And with coming into the Christmas season, we're putting a little bit of a pause on the series that we've been in. We've been in a series called Superpowered, looking at the spiritual gifts that that God says in the Bible that he wants us to have. And so we'll be picking that back up in January. But today I'd like to bring a topic called A Thankful Heart is a Happy Heart. Now, if you have kids of any age, there was these series of videos that we had that we just couldn't get away from watching in our home when the kids were little. And so as I was preparing the message this week, the phrase came to my mind. I thought, well, I know we spoke about Thanksgiving a little bit last Sunday, but I kind of wanted to talk more about it this Sunday, kind of as a segue going into our Advent series, which will start next Sunday. And so the line came to me, "A thankful heart is a happy heart," and then I just began singing, "Because a thankful heart is a happy heart." Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, take a look at the screen.
I thank God for this day, for the sun in the sky, for my mom and my dad, for my piece of apple pie, for a home on the ground, for his love that's all around. That's why I say thanks every day.
If you know it, sing along.
Because a thankful heart is a happy heart. I'm glad for what I have. There's an easy way to start. For the love to my prayers. That's why I say thanks every day. Woo.
We're going to incorporate into our worship.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Shane says we'll incorporate that into our closing worship song. Can we do that, Jason? And so here we are in the season of Thanksgiving, and we're coming into the Christmas season. And Christmas typically is a season that is filled with wonderful memories, and we think of all the great times we have together. JJ and I were pastoring a church one time, and never in my life had I ever been in a place where so many people hated Christmas. Yeah. And frankly, it really surprised both of us. How many people that we met in the church that we pastored when we first came, the very first Christmas that we were there, how many people, capital H, capital A, capital T, capital E, capital D, hated Christmas? And as I began to get to know the people in the church that God called us to pastor, we were thought, you know, because we're thinking, man, Christmas is the best time of the year ever. I mean, Jesus came into the world to change our lives. And we're like, what don't you like about Christmas? And well, I was an orphan. My father left. We were strung out on drugs. This, that, any number of things. And it was really neat to see how in the years that we pastored there, how that began to shift.
Yeah.
It was exciting because Christmas time should be a time that is merry and bright because Jesus came into our life to transform us and change us. Amen?
Amen.
And so today we're going to take some time. And I'm really hoping that this kind of sets us up as we step into our series next week, our short Advent series. And so we'll take a little break from spiritual gifts, And we're going to talk about what makes a happy heart, a thankful heart, a happy heart. And so we're going to be reading from Colossians 3:17. The first thing I want to talk about, there'll be four things I'm talking about, and they all start with the letter F. So if you've been in any service, you know, pastors like to either rhyme things or make good alliterations, because I know me, it helps me remember what I've heard. So the first thing, let's talk about a fixed focus. Say that with me. Say, fixed focus.
Fixed focus.
There's a fixed focus. This message will be a bit more topical than we've been. We've been going through the word verse by verse the past several weeks, but we're going to be jumping around a little bit today. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 says this. And it says, whatever you do, what does that leave out?
Nothing.
Nothing. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything. Does that leave anything out?
Nope.
Do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Lord, we thank you for your word today. Lord, I pray as we get into your word that the words would come off of the pages and off of our digital devices and off the TV screens and into our hearts, where our lives will be changed because of the life that comes from the power of your word. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen.
Amen.
So whatever we do, in word or in deed, whatever we do, the Bible says do it in Jesus' name, because then it says when you do it in Jesus' name, you give thanks to God the Father through him. There's a fixed focus. Now, I am not a hunter, and I haven't hunted anything yet. I've had a number of people in church say, Pastor, we need to go hunting. And I'm like, okay, let's go. So I haven't gone out yet, but I've known enough people, and I know enough people to know that there is a focus that needs to be fixed on the target that you're trying to hit. All of those of you who are hunters, am I doing okay so far? Am I doing okay, Ronnie? Okay, good. So there's a focus. He sent me a picture last week of a couple of beauties that he got, and I'm like, man, that's impressive. It's impressive. But there's a focus that you got to have on what you're aiming for. And there's a fixed focus that God wants to have in our life. And Colossians 3 says it this way. It says, whatever you do, we just read a moment ago, whatever you do, whatever you do, whatever you do, whatever you say, whatever you do and whatever you say, right? Whatever you do, whatever you say, in word or in deed, do it in Jesus' name and give thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. See, when your focus is fixed, how many remember seeing the movie Robin Hood with Kevin Costner a couple decades ago?
Yeah.
So you remember there's this scene where Robin Hood's got the bow and arrow, and he's instructing someone who's younger, and he's like, it's great that you can shoot an arrow and hit your target, but can you do it when there's distraction? And you remember Maid Marian comes into the scene, right? And she asks the question, she goes, can you? And so he draws the arrow back, and before he releases, remember what she does?
She goes, blows in her ear.
She blows in his ear, and what happens? Swing! The arrow goes way off focus. But how do we know when your focus is fixed, the enemy can come and he can try to blow in your ear and whisper distractions to say, okay, did God really say, did God really make this promise? Did God really say be thankful in everything? Because how do we know the enemy will try to do that? But when your focus is fixed, you can see what God has called you to be, the promises that he has made you. And you can say, I will not take my eye off it. So when you release, you're going to hit that target. See, there's a focus that comes from whatever we do, in word or in deed, we do it in Jesus' name, and we give thanks to God the Father through him. So whatever you say, whatever you do, let me look at it this way. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 3. Let's go back into the Old Testament. 1 Samuel chapter 3. I'd like to take a quick look at this prophet named Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 19 says this. It says, so Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. Think about that for just a second. None of his words fell to the ground. None of his words were meaningless. None of his words were lifeless. What he said happened. Boy, if there was ever a goal verse for a Christian, that's it. Amen? Because I think how many words have I spoken that as soon as they came out of my mouth, they fell flat to the ground? How many things have I said? How many words that have come out that just came out and were lifeless and meaningless and didn't accomplish what God intended for them to accomplish? Well, how does Samuel do it? Well, we see it right there. It says, Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him. When God is with you, and God is telling you, speak this, say this, guess what? God's word will accomplish what it is sent forth to do. Always. And the word of God says, it will not return void. It won't return meaningless. What comes out is going to happen. It happened with Samuel. It can happen with you and me. Amen. That's a good promise.
Amen.
See, I read this in the New Living Translation as well, because I wanted to catch a couple different ways and a couple different flavors how this says. And it says it this way. As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him. Watch this. And everything Samuel said proved to be reliable. Could you imagine if somebody said that about you and me? Everything Shane says proves to be reliable. Could you imagine if somebody, how awesome would that be? Everything Tim Versalono said proved to be reliable. I got some work to do. Now, before you say amen, we all got some work to do, amen? See, when there is a fixed focus, when we are giving thanks to God through Jesus, there is a fixed focus that comes in our life that the enemy will try to whisper things into our ear that we can say, get behind me. My focus is fixed. Number two, freedom from fear. That sounds pretty good, huh? Tell the person next to you, get free from fear. You might be saying, well, that's easier said than done. Let's look at this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to jump over back to the New Testament. Turn there with me, if you would. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Because a thankful heart is a happy heart. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to read verse 18 to start with. It says this. It says, give thanks in some circumstances. What's it saying? How many is all circumstances? Does that leave room for any? Nope. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. See, giving thanks in all circumstances brings freedom from fear. Well, you might be thinking, well, how does that happen? Because I don't know what tomorrow holds, but God does. I don't know what Thursday night at 10:56 holds, but God does. I don't know what next Tuesday at 8:49 a.m. holds, but God does. God knows what is going to happen tomorrow, and because of that, I don't have to stress out about it. Because the world has plenty of stuff for me to stress out about, doesn't it? There's plenty of stuff to get me all worried and get me anxious, but see, there's a freedom from fear when I say, God, regardless, I am going to thank you in whatever comes my way. Whatever? Yeah, whatever comes my way. Amen. Is it challenging and hard sometimes to thank God in whatever comes my way? Absolutely. Life is not always pumpkin pie and whipped cream. I know, right? I love pumpkin pie and whipped cream. I don't just love the little tiny dollop of whipped cream. I'm like, hit it. Cover that, baby. I don't want to see pumpkin pie. But life is not always pumpkin pie covered with loads of whipped cream, is it? Sometimes it's just a bowl full of cherry pits.
Praise God.
Right? And the Word of God still tells us to give thanks in all circumstances. Why? Because it is God's will for us in Christ Jesus. It's God's will for us to be thankful. Because when we're thankful, and regardless whatever comes our way, there is a freedom from fear that you and I can experience. Because God holds the future. Now, I'd like to take a look at a couple other verses here. Look up at verse 12 with me of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It says, and we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now, let me stop there for just a minute. Let me just kind of meddle around for a minute or so. This is not a verse you hear a lot of pastors talk about, because the last thing pastors ever want to sound like is self-serving. Okay? And so, but when I read this passage, there have been people that I've wanted to say over the years, nobody here at Laconia Foursquare, But there have been people in the past who have wanted to say, hey, let's look at a Bible verse. And the Bible says, you need to recognize those who labor among you and those who are over you and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love and in their work's sake. So come on, get it together. What's wrong with you in love? Because it's one thing if we do it to our kids, right? But see, the Word of God says, without sounding self-serving, that didn't sound self-serving or nasty, did it? Oh, Lord, forgive me if it did. But see, the Word of God says, this is the Apostle Paul saying, I'm urging you, I am urging you. I am saying this as strongly as I know how to say it, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Can I tell you, not just in October did JJ and I feel loved and appreciated. We feel loved and appreciated by you guys so much. I can't tell you how many times JJ and I go, Lord, thank you so, so much that we have the amazing privilege of being called the pastors here at Laconia Four Square Church. God, thank you that we get to serve this congregation. What a wonderful blessing. It's wonderful. And then it goes on to say, be at peace among yourselves. Verse 14, now we exhort you, here it is again, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. Let me just hit the brake there. Be patient with all? What about this guy, Lord, at work who drives me nuts that I'm going to see tomorrow morning that I'm going to have to deal with again? Especially him. Because one of the fruit of the Spirit is what?
Patience.
Patience.
Amen.
Patience. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Let God work it out. And if you need help, say, God, help me. And guess what? He will. He says, be patient with all, not just some. Even those drivers that are from different states who drive you crazy. Okay, verse 15. I am from a different state, but I live here now. Wait, I don't drive you crazy when I drive, do I? Have you ever been behind me? Okay, good. Okay, sure. So far, so good. Yeah, that's right. I have a New Hampshire license plate, so people can't look at my car and go, oh, California drivers. Verse 16. It says this. Oh, go back to verse 15. Excuse me, I missed verse 15. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good for both yourselves and for all. Then verse 16, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything, there it is again, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecies, test all things, hold fast to what is good, abstain from every form of evil. Now, I want to submit something that's a possibility for us to think about. Is it possible that sometimes we quench the spirit because we're not doing what the word says to do? Yes. Is it possible that Tim Versalono has quenched the spirit when I've said, God, this person's driving me insane? When the Lord said, be patient with everybody. But God, you don't understand. You're not working on them like I am. Wait a minute. Hang on. Right? Is it possible that oftentimes we're quenching or we're stopping what the Lord wants to do because we're not doing what the Word instructs us to do right here in this passage in 1 Thessalonians? I want to make sure I honor those who are above me. I want to recognize them for their hard work. I thank God that there's people that are serving in capacities that I really, frankly, have no desire to ever serve in. I thank God that I get to pastor a church. I can't tell you how many people are like, man, Pastor, I'm glad it's you and it's not me because I wouldn't want to do what you're doing. Well, thank you very much, but continue to pray for me. Continue to pray for JJ. Continue to pray for my kids. Continue to pray for Pastor Greg and Carrie and Jason and Lacey and MK and Charlie and those of us who serve because we love doing it, but the Bible says honor them. Pray for us. That's a good place to say amen.
Amen.
I don't want to quench what the Lord is doing. I want to be patient with people. I want to warn people who are unruly. I want to comfort the faint-hearted. I want to uphold the weak. I want to be patient. You get the picture, right? This is what the Word says. There's freedom from fear when we are giving thanks in all circumstances because it's God's will for us. There was somebody else who was in a garden praying one time who said something similar when he said, not my will, but yours be done. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Jesus' will was in line with the Father's will. And when our will is in line with the Father's will, there's a freedom from fear. Number three, fulfilled freedom. That sounds pretty good. Who doesn't want to be free? Amen? There's a fulfilled freedom when a thankful heart is a happy heart. Psalm chapter 9, verses 1 and 2 say this. It says, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. See, there's a fulfillment in freedom when we thank God wholeheartedly, not just with half of our heart. As we're worshiping the Lord this morning, there's just times when you're just singing and you can't sing loud enough and you can't get your hands high enough and you just like, it's just like, I could wish I could just explode out of my body and praise God more because he deserves more than I'm giving him. Amen. That's what this is saying here. We thank God wholeheartedly, not just because the situation warrants praise, not just because God just blessed me with something, but what about the times when I feel like I'm walking through hell and I say, God, I'm still going to praise you regardless of what I'm walking through.
Amen.
Regardless of the place I am going to praise you. What better place to praise God than in the challenge? Yeah. What better place to praise God and say, God, even though I'm walking in this mess right now, I'm not going to stay here in this mess because you're going to walk me out of it and I'm going to praise you through it.
Amen.
See, how do we do that? We praise him because of his wonderful deeds. Now, there's a difference. Look at this word. This word right here that says exalt, that's not a typo. There's a difference between exalting and exulting. Now, we don't really hear much of this word because it's just kind of fallen out of common usage. But I want to give you a little tiny English lesson. As you know, Pastor Greg teaches science over at Guilford. So we were kind of conspiring this morning. I thought, hey, maybe I could like go teach English at Guilford and we could just cause all sorts of trouble and get everybody saved at Guilford High and turn that place upside down for Jesus. That'd be a ton of fun, wouldn't it? That'd be exciting. So exalt and exalt. Exalt, here you go. Here's your English lesson. It's a transitive verb, which means this. It needs a direct object. So we don't just exalt, we exalt God. We exalt Jesus. We did that this morning. Amen. We've been doing that today. We've been exalting Jesus. We've been praising him. And he's been ministering to us this morning. Here's what exalt means. When you exalt in something, it means to celebrate or to be happy. So it's like rejoicing at your team's big win. Just a month or so ago, there was a whole lot of happy people when the guys who wear red socks beat the guys who wear blue socks. Now today, I'm wearing Christmas socks, so I'm exulting in the fact that I can finally break out the Christmas socks. And so when you're exulting, it means that you are just excited. You do it by yourself. Now, look at this. Check out this verse again. When it says, I will exult in you, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in you. I will. Are you catching the theme? I will sing praise. Jesus can't praise himself for us. We've got to do it. We're the ones who lift our voices to praise him.
That's right.
Every Sunday morning when Jason and the team gets up and they begin to lead us, it's not that they're Holy Ghost cheerleaders. They're saying, okay, come on. They're here to help us, to help facilitate us as we praise and worship the Lord. I thank God that we've got a great worship team. But if it was just Jason on his guitar, it would be just as awesome. I love it that we've got Shane playing the cajon and Eric on the keyboard and singers and everything. I love that my whole family's here with me today, by the way. I got to tell you what. We're singing What a Mighty God this morning, right? This is like quickly becoming like one of my favorite worship songs. And I got my wife to my left, and I've got Pastor Shane to my right. I just called you Pastor Shane. I got Casey up here leading worship next to my niece, Jordan, and I got Jackson in the back of the soundboard, and I had to stop singing because I choked up. Standing here with my in-laws, worshiping the Lord, and I thought, Lord, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart because I can't help do anything less. I just can't help it because he's just that great. He wants to bring a fulfilled freedom to our lives when he works in our lives. I will make the choice to worship God regardless of what I am going through.
Amen.
Number four. Boy, I'm getting kind of happy now. Number four. These are two words that typically don't go together. Fierce faith. Say that with me. Say fierce faith.
Fierce faith.
Yeah, that's a good way to say it too. Fierce faith.
Because faith should never be just like, well, faith. But there's a fierceness to our faith. Here, let's look at this. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 says this. It says, therefore, everybody say therefore.
Therefore,
let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. See, there is a ferocity that just inherently comes with faith in Jesus. You might be saying, well, I'm not really kind of, you know, out there and as wild as you are, Pastor Tim. Hey, that's okay. Have you ever been around somebody that there is just a depth to their faith, and they're pretty just kind of naturally quiet? I know a number of people who are like this, and I get around them, and I'm just like, I need more of what they've got in my life. There's a fierceness. There's a laying hold. Let's look at the definition of fierce. I was looking at this the other day. Check this out. Having or displaying an intense or ferocious aggressiveness. That sounds like faith to me.
Yes.
If God has made you a promise, if God has said something to you, I will do this, do you think God wants to do it?
Yes.
Yes. Everybody say yes.
Yes.
If God has made you a promise, he wants to do it. And who are we to say, well, you know, I've prayed 3 times for this and I haven't seen it happen yet. What if God says, keep praying, keep pressing?
Amen.
Right? Daniel, before he got thrown into the lion's den, right? Hey, you can't pray anymore. You're going to get in big trouble if you pray. And Daniel was like, okay, whatever. And he kept on praying. Got him tossed into the lion's den, but did he get eaten by the lions? Nope. Nope. There's a fierceness to the faith that we have. So when the world says, you need to stop what you're doing, we say, wait a minute, who am I to disobey what God has told me to do?
Amen.
Who am I to disobey God? See, having a fierce faith, it doesn't necessarily mean that we're visibly ferocious all the time. It doesn't mean you walk around and go, hey, 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 Jesus left you. Because people would probably look at you and go, oh, slow down there, Johnny Rocket. You're knocking me way back here. And chances are you may turn a lot of people off because they're just kind of shouting in their face, right? I'm not talking about being a weird, wacky Christian. I'm talking about seeing somebody who is rooted and grounded in God's love that says, I am going to choose to love you no matter how much you say you don't like me.
Right on.
Why? Because Jesus does the exact same thing, and I want to be just like him. I want to love you like Jesus loves you. So try and get rid of me.
Amen.
I'm going to pray for you anyway. See, that's a fierceness of faith. I've only had one person ever tell me no. You guys have heard me share the story. I've only had one person ever tell me no to prayer. And it's because the guy was demon possessed. Can I pray for you? No. I was making a hospital visit and the police officer kind of looked at me and he's like, Pastor, you don't want to come in here. And I thought, oh, yes, I do. So I walked away, and what did I do? I still prayed for him. I still prayed for him. I don't care. Greater one lives inside of us. Amen?
Amen.
There's a ferociousness that our faith needs to have. See, and when that is happening, it's because that we've received and we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. The Bible says the gates of hell will try, but they won't prevail against the church. The gates of hell will try to prevail against you, but guess what? They don't have to prevail. And the Bible says they won't. Why? Because we're citizens of a kingdom that cannot be shaken. That's what the book of Hebrews just told us right here in 12:28. Be grateful, be thankful that we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. I don't stand on my own 2 feet. I stand on what Jesus has given me to stand on. It's not my truth. It's the truth of the Word of God.
Yeah.
Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. See, my truth is not good enough. My truth is silly. I hear people say, you probably hear people say it on TV all the time. My truth, I need to speak my truth and own my truth. Well, why don't you try owning the truth of Jesus and let him change your truth? Let him change your life.
Mm-hmm.
Jason, come on up here. I'm going to preach all day. I'm so happy. See, what does this have to do with having a thankful and a happy heart? Because the Word of God tells us, we just read a moment ago, that we've received a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Don't quit believing in what God has said he will do, because he will never, ever, ever give up on you. If you're standing and praying for healing, keep believing. Keep thanking God for it. You guys have heard me share ever since fourth grade. I've said, Lord, thank you that my eyes are healed. I will keep on praying it. I'll keep on thanking the Lord for it. And I'll keep on standing on the fact that his word says my eyes are healed. I'm going to keep on praying and standing and believing for people who are unsaved loved ones of my family and my friends, that they're going to come to Jesus and he just might use me to do it. Oh, how wonderful is that? See, you may be here today and you might be saying, you know, I hear what you're saying, Pastor, but I'm not quite too sure where to start. Let me do this. Let me ask you to close your eyes and bow your heads as we come to our conclusion today. The place to start is making Jesus Lord of your life. And if you've never made him the Lord of your life, would you do me the amazing and wonderful honor of letting me pray with you and welcoming you into his kingdom? If you're here today and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life and you want to do that today, would you just lift your hand up and say, that's me, Pastor. I want to invite Jesus in. There's no need to be ashamed or embarrassed. This is between you and the Lord. I'm just looking to agree with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Let me ask this next question. You may be here today and you say, you know, Pastor Tim, I feel like I haven't really had a thankful heart, and I definitely feel like I haven't had a very happy heart. But I sure want that. What you've talked about sounds really good today. I feel like I've just had, fear has been consuming me. I feel like there hasn't been freedom in my life. I feel like I've been bound up in chains, and I feel like my faith has just been weak, like limp, like bad lettuce. Just been limp. And I want to have a fierce faith. I want to know what Jesus is doing in my life. I want to have a focus that's fixed. And I'm tired of not. If that's you, would you slip your hand up and say, yeah, that's me, Pastor Tim. I want you to pray with me today. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. You can put your hands down. Church, can we all stand together? I just want to ask, could we stand in this posture here with our hands raised? You can lift them higher if you'd like to, but let's put our hands right about this posture here, where we're not just giving to the Lord, but receiving from him. And would you just repeat these words with me? Father God, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I give you my life. I give you all my sin, all my past failures and successes. And I ask you to forgive me. Today, I receive your forgiveness that washes me and cleanses me and makes me new. Jesus, I give you my fear. I want to have a fixed focus. I want to have a fierce faith. And I want to be thankful. So, Lord, refresh me today. Breathe new life into me today. I receive your work. I receive your life. I receive your strength. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, while we're here in this moment, I want to ask if we could do this. This is one of those stepping out in faith things. Oftentimes in the Bible, you see a physical response to something that God is doing in the Spirit. And I just want to ask, could we just take a moment and breathe in what God is doing, and breathe out all that we're releasing to him. Go and do that again. Breathe him in. And just release it all to him. Lord, thank you that you are breathing new life into each and every one of us today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Could we just lift up our voices and thank him for what he's doing in our lives now, church? Just begin to lift up your voices and just thank him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for your fresh work in our life. For the freedom. For a fierceness in our faith. For a focus that's fixed, Lord God. For a freedom from fear. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our lives today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. While our hands are lifted, would you receive this blessing? Now, Lord, I thank you that as we have gathered in this place today, that you have spoken to us. You have declared your love, your grace, your goodness to us. And Lord, we are so filled with thankfulness. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that as we go from this place today, that you lead us, that you guide us. I thank you, Lord God, for blessing. I thank you, Lord, that you go before us, that the angel of the Lord camps round about us and delivers us. And Lord, I declare over my brothers and my sisters that you are the head and not the tail, that you are above and not beneath. I declare that you are blessed and not cursed, and whatever you set your hands to, may it prosper in the strong and mighty name of Jesus. And if you receive that today, would you say amen? Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. It's going to be a good week, everybody. Thanks for being here today. We look forward to seeing you next Sunday. Have a great week. Happy Thanksgiving and Merry Christmas, everybody. We'll see you next time.